We just finished up the book of John, and so today we're going to start in Philippians, a small book, four chapters, not very long chapters. So we'll spend some time with the Philippian letter, and then after that we will go into Colossians, which is another short letter from Paul to the church at Colossae, and that's four chapters as well. So we'll be dealing with both of these, but we'll do Philippians first. Let's take a moment and go to our Father in prayer. And if you'll join me, that'd be great. Gracious Father, we're so thankful that you've given us this day that we can meet together and worship you. And to study your word is such a plus for us, and it brings us in harmony with one another and lets us remember the closeness that we have because of you. We pray that you will be with us as we do this study of Philippians, and we hope that we will learn something from it, be able to apply those things to our lives. Be with us now as we go through this day. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, anybody remember anything particular about the book of Philippians? What do we know about Philippians? Do you remember what journey that Paul was on when he first visited Philippi? Second journey. Okay, first journey was up into the Asia area and established some churches up in there. And now he's getting ready to go back. He and Barnabas had a disagreement. And so Paul took Silas and they headed out. And they were making plans to go back to visit the churches that they had established on the first missionary journey. And so they got as far as Troas, and during the night, Paul had a vision. And so if you'll turn over to Acts, the 16th chapter, we'll read just a short part of that. We'll start at, verse 6, 16:6. And then they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go in Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia, was standing beseeching him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go out to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Setting sail therefore from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. I think just a brief background study, of Philippi would be in order here to kind of set the stage of what Paul and Silas. Also, anybody remember who they had with them besides Paul and Silas going? Probably Timothy, who was a new convert, and also probably Luke. Okay, the city of Philippi was a very ancient city, had been there for centuries upon centuries, but in about 350, 356, somewhere in that neighborhood, it was renamed Philippi after Alexander the Great's father, who was Philip of Macedon. And Philippi, of course, is located in Macedonia, which is part of Greece. And so I can understand why that was named after him. It was on an important trade route from Asia to Europe, Rome, that area. And there was a lot of trade going on there. Also, the city was surrounded by gold mines. And it provided a lot of gold for the Roman Empire. And I think at one time, too, it probably produced a ton of gold for the Greeks as well. During, where am I at here? I lost my place. That's what I get for getting ahead of myself. This is the first time that Paul had been to Europe, to Macedonia, Greece area. And I think he was pretty anxious to get in there. And so he took a ship and came out. Philippi was kind of set up on a side of a hill in a bowl-like area. There was a plain out in front of it. And then the sea on the other side of that plain. So it was just a short trip. Once Paul landed there, then he walked up to the city. It was during the week. They came into the city and they stayed for several days. And on the Sabbath, they went outside the city to meet with people. That's normally what happened when there was no synagogue. And apparently, there wasn't a synagogue in Philippi. There wasn't enough Jewish people there to have a synagogue. And so Paul and his group went outside the city along a riverside there where people met and studied and talked and visited and that type of thing. And he met a group of women there. And there was a lady there who listened very intently and her heart was open. Anybody remember who that was? I can't hear you. Lydia, that's right. That was Lydia, wasn't it? And Lydia was from a city of Thyatira. And about the only thing we know about that city is it's mentioned in Revelation, the 20th chapter, and about the city there, one of the seven churches of Asia. But for some reason, she traveled to Philippi, and she opened a store there. She was a seller of purple. And purple was normally associated with wealthy people, royalty. And apparently she was probably a Jewish lady. But doesn't tell us that, but I believe that she was. But she was there to worship with some other ladies along the riverbank. And Paul started talking to them and started preaching, and her heart was open. And she became a believer, and so she took Paul and his group home with her, and she was baptized there, plus her household. And so she became the first Christian convert in Europe. There was somebody else there, if you'll recall, in the story of Paul and Philippi. He was going around in the city, and there was this slave girl that was going around following him. And she was making all kinds of comments, and it irritated Paul to the point where he turned and said, "Come out of her, the evil spirit." And she was immediately released from that evil spirit. Well, like several times other than this one that we have seen people making a profit with people that had demons. she had this a couple of owners that were making a profit because she was prophesying and all that stuff. And of course, it made them mad. So they got a group up and they took them before the Philippi magistrates. And they stripped their clothes off of them and beat the dickens out of them and threw them in jail. And what do we know about the jailer? Philippian jailer, remember him? In the middle of the night, there was an earthquake, shook the doors open, rattled all the doors. And the Philippian jailer there was had them in the inner part of the prison. He was really watching them closely. But anyway, he was going to fall on his sword and kill himself. But Paul told him, don't worry about that. We're all here. And so the Philippian jailer took Paul and his group back to his home, Worcester Stripes, and he was baptized along with his whole household. So there we have the beginning of the church in Philippi. This happened right at about 49 AD, 50 AD, right in that area. And we're going to find that the book of Philippians was really written about 10 years later, in 59 to 62, right in that area. And Paul has just become very, very pleased with these people. He's fallen in love with them. They're special to him. First converts in Europe, that type of thing. And so his letter to the Philippians is really a warm, really a warm letter. We don't know how long Philippi, Paul and Silas and his group stayed in Philippi, but it's clear that they did develop a great love for these people. But after some time, they got out of jail, and after Paul encouraged these people about Jesus, Paul left and went on to another Greek city named Thessalonica. And I think it's now about 10 years later, and Paul is under house arrest in Rome. And we know about that, where he was. He had been so active in promoting God and Jesus and the New Testament, which, of course, wasn't written at that particular time, but he even had the royal guards, the Praetorian guards, which was the house guards that did the household of the emperor, and he even had most of those people believing. So his work wasn't finished, and Paul writes this letter to Philippians, and he's thanking them for all the support, all the gifts that they provided him with over the years. And he said, well, you know, I never asked for any of these things, but you were willing to do these things. You were willing to send me support. You were willing to provide gifts for me. And he really appreciated that. But he had a special soft spot in his heart for these people. But Book of Philippians is really just really a warm, encouraging book, affirming Paul's belief in these people. There's no major problem passages or anything like that in the book. There's joy in every chapter, even those that there's just a few. There's, surprisingly enough, no quotations from the Old Testament. And, of course, most of Paul's writings, and especially with the Jews, there were quotes all the time from the Old Testament. Christ is mentioned in these four chapters over 40 times. It's the most positive of Paul's letters that he wrote. And even while he was in prison. And he was under house arrest for a couple of years there. And he had somewhat some freedom. But he was still chained to a guard. And so his movements were not too well. He didn't have that freedom that we do. So what can we take from the first chapter of Philippians? Let's go ahead and we'll read the first chapter of Philippians. Somebody want to start? Verse 1 through verse 11. Anybody want to read that? Go ahead, Jane. This is a prayer that Paul made on behalf of the Philippians. They were steadfast. They were the only church that's recorded that sent him. In fact, Paul says that you're the only church, the only people that sent me support, even though I never asked for it. And so these people were really abounding in the faith. They were growing like crazy. There was one man that we'll learn about, Epaphroditus, I think is his name, who was a member of this congregation, and he took gifts to Paul while Paul was in prison. And he became really sick. Paul said he wrote that he became almost sick unto death. And so they were worried about him, of course. And Paul was, later on we find that Paul made mention of him and that he is doing well. And I think he became one of the leading members of the congregation there in Philippi. Okay, let's go. Anybody want to read chapter? Let's see, verse 12. Let's go down to verse 18, 12 through 18. Anybody want to read that?
Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice.
start at 19. Yes, and I shall rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectations, and hope that I shall not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If it is to be life in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain flesh in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. Paul is giving them encouragement here in the form, and he says, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I'm here, I'm in prison. I don't know if I'm going to be with you ever again in the flesh or not. He said that it may be my fate to lose my life. And of course, we know this was written somewhere in 61, 62, right in that area. And we know that Paul was executed in 64. So he had a couple of years there where he was not sure what was going to happen to him. But the Philippians were encouraged by Paul's letter. You know, what do we learn from this? You know, in spite of our circumstances, we can glorify God, realizing that God's had a and does have a hand in everything that happens to us on a daily basis. We also need to be sure and conduct ourselves in a manner that's worthy of Christ. These are lessons that we can take from the book of Philippians, just like it was 2,000 years ago. We need to work together for the faith and for the spreading of the gospel. There's so many things that we could take from this particular book, but that's just a few of the things. So many, anyway. This is just as encouraging to us today as it was 2,000 years ago to the Philippians. Anybody have any comments so far? Brother Bob, you look like you had a question.
I have somewhat of a comment. I was impressed. The first verse is salutation that Paul addresses all the saints in Philippi. And then he says, including the overseers and the deacons.
Yeah.
So overseers and deacons need encouragement, instruction, and
absolutely
all that kind of stuff, as well as the general population.
Yes, and you know, of course, this you know, we find in you know, Acts 16, of course, there wasn't any elders or deacons then, but the church is now 10 or 12 years old. And so they have grown to the point where they have qualified deacons and elders. And it is certainly still a work in progress. But it is a solid, faith, founded congregation there in Philippi. It's interesting because the first convert was Lydia, and I think that she probably had quite a bit of influence on the church there in the beginning. Was probably a highly respected lady, and had a lot to do with the success of the congregation there. we find, of course, Lydia is just one of many. There's been women throughout the Bible that have made such a huge impact on the church today. Not only an impact on the church today, but even in the Jewish days, they had a separate spot in their synagogue, but they still were able to worship there in the synagogue with the men. And there were women from time to time throughout Scripture that had a huge impact upon the religious community at that particular time. And Lydia was just one of them. Is there any other questions, comments, anything like that that you might? Yeah, Paul here is teaching him something very important, isn't he? Where no matter what our circumstances, and can we apply that to ourselves today? Sure we can. We have various, you know, each of us have our own problems. Each of us have our circumstances that beset us. A lot of them not so good, but some of them as well. Very, very good for us, and yet sometimes we just take them for granted, don't give thanks where thanks is due. And I think that the Lord works through us each and every day. I think He has a hand in everything that we do. And so the good things that come along, wonderful. But the bad things that come along as well, or things not quite so good, we still need to be thankful for the circumstances that we still have Jesus to refer to and God to worship each and every day. And that's important stuff. Okay, anybody else have any comments? Thank you, appreciate that. Anybody else have any comments or questions? John? You were looking at. Thank you. What about you, Lenny? Okay. Bob?
Well, a lot of the letters that Paul writes, he's taking the people to task and reminding them that they're falling short here and there and trying to encourage them. And it appears in this book of Philippians that he's given everybody a huge pat on the back. They stepped up and helped him. He's telling them, yeah, I see it, I feel it, I want you to know how much I appreciate it. And that he also tells them that it's to the glory and praise of God that their actions. So he's very encouraging, and everybody appreciates being encouraged when they do something.
That is true, and I doubt very seriously whether or not they even had that in mind, but Paul speaks very, very warmly of these people, and I think that they were a. There was one thing, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, where they a couple of women had a disagreement in the church there, and. Paul is encouraging them to speak the same thing. So I don't know if they, it wasn't a real disagreement. Paul just encouraged them to, settle your differences and that time. We'll take a look at that a little bit later. Next week we're going to work into chapters 2 and 3. They're both short chapters. But we'll spend a little bit of time on that and see whether or not we can get into that a little bit more deeper than we have today. But this is kind of a neat neat study. Philippians, you know, seeing Paul being so positive, you know, even though, and you can remember that there in Philippi, they got the dickens beat out of them, you know, with rods and got thrown in jail. But Paul turned that into something that was positive. And even though they were suffering the whippings and the beating there in the jailhouse, they were there singing praises to the Lord at midnight. And when this earthquake happened, and that area is really prone to earthquakes. Even today, we there in northeastern Greece and Turkey, there's a lot of earthquakes that happen in there. So this doesn't surprise me any, although I'm sure it was probably set up by the Lord. So it was kind of an interesting study to start out with. The more I got into it, the more I appreciated Paul and his writings here to the Philippians and the response that the Philippians had to Paul. They were super supportive the whole time. Anything else that we want to touch base with this morning? Okay, if not, we're going to shorten it up for an additional 5 minutes. So that'll give us a chance to visit a little bit and get ready for services this morning. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it very much. And sorry I been a little under the weather. We'll try to do better next time.
Thank you, Ron.